Wonderful. Thank y'all for singing tonight. Let's go into the scripture for a little while this evening. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. I wish you listened to us this evening. I feel like what we have could be a help to all of us. And sure do want to try to be a blessing and a challenge to us this evening. I'm thankful for the visitors the Lord's let be here today. And sure do pray that the services this morning and tonight have been and will be a blessing to you. But my heart and my burden is for our church, especially this evening, that the Lord would do a work. We're getting ready to go into a meeting here on tomorrow night. And we'll have Brother Wesley Webb riding up tomorrow, be with us. And looking forward to what God is going to do in my heart and in my family. And looking forward to what He's going to do in your heart and in your family. And if He'll do a work in our hearts and our families, there will automatically be a work done in the church. And that's what we need in these days. I appreciated what Brother Tim said in opening of Sunday school about the fire of the Lord and going after God. And we need those fires to burn one more time. And we sure do. In these days, people take their spiritual life in church so casually anymore. And it's not a casual thing. It's not something that we ought to take lightly. It's something very important to my spiritual life. Walking with God, prayer, the touch of God, church, the Bible. And all of this is vitally important to us. And we ought to be excited about it. Amen. I appreciate all four of you that's got a little excitement about it. Amen. And we ought to be burning with a good zeal in our heart for the things of God. And I trust this evening, maybe the Lord even take the message tonight and use it to be a part of that. I don't know how long we'll be. I'm going to try to have us out here, or I'll be winding my part down here about 7:05. That be all right? Amen. Y'all don't believe it, do you? But you're just going to see a miracle tonight if the Lord will be our helper. Let's stand together, if you're willing and able to do so. Begin here in 1 Samuel 18. The Bible said, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David." Notice this next phrase, "And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him," this is David now, "took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house than Jonathan. And David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, gave it to David in his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle." Notice with me, if you would, in chapter number 19, in verse number 1, "And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, and said that they should kill David." Notice verse number 2, "But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee." If you'd look over maybe a couple more verses here this evening, the Bible said in chapter number 20, verse number 16, "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. Jonathan caused David to swear again," notice this phrase, "because he loved him." We read this phrase again, "for he loved him as he loved his own soul." Bear with me just a moment in chapter number 23 and in verse number 16. The Bible said, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, For the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. They too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. That would be the last time Jonathan and David would ever see one another on this side of eternity. Look with me in chapter number 31, verse number 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel. The men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. The Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. I want to preach a message to you tonight, if the Lord will help us, and kind of, I guess, from the standpoint of Jonathan's life, and if you'll bear with me, it's a type, a message that's going to come out of a typology, and every typology breaks down somewhere, but I think the Lord's give us something to give to you tonight on the thought from Jonathan's life, in love with David, but loyal to Saul. In love with David, but loyal to Saul. You can be seated this evening in the scripture. We believe tonight, through much study and preaching that we've done in days gone by, there are many types of the battle and the conflict that rages inside every true born-again child of God. That conflict and the battle known as the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And this is a doctrine taught in the New Testament to you and I that there is a spirit life and there is a flesh life. And all they that will walk in the spirit, they will of the spirit reap life. And they will reap it with much joy. But they that walk after the spirit and mind the flesh rather, and mind the things of the flesh, they can expect that they will reap death and destruction and a life of regret and a life of misery. This is the teaching in the New Testament that once we're saved, that there is a new man that is born in us. We call it the new life, the spiritual man, the man that is in that new birth, that recreation that God makes within each of us as his children. And yet the flesh abides and the old man is there. And there's that battle that we are awakened to in the moment that we're saved, known as that battle of the flesh and the spirit. And the types abound throughout the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament. As we look back, some of the more familiar ones would be that of Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac obviously being a type of the Spirit and what the Spirit produces. Ishmael was produced through fleshly means and ideas and plans, and he stands as a type of the flesh and what it does against the Spirit. One of the most familiar ones, I guess, in all the Word of God, Brother Riley, is Jacob and Esau. And we understand that Jacob, he begins as a trickster, a deceiver, a liar, a con man. But he meets the Lord and he becomes a wondrous type of that spirit man. While Esau, from his birth, is always the days of his life, a man of the earth and a man of carnality and a man that is only interested in his own selfish well-being, and what a type in the flesh that he is, and how that he despises his birthright and despises the blessings of God. And Jacob, yet as he meets God and has an encounter with God, and takes on that type and that picture of what it is to live in the Spirit. And those are some familiar ones that no doubt stand out to you and I in the Word of God. Many others we could reference tonight. But for sake of time, let's dive into the one that is before us this evening. And that is this truth that stands out
in Saul and David. What a contrast these two men are in the Word of God. And in particular, we see this contrast in the life of this young man, or this man we have read about tonight, the man Jonathan. Jonathan, when Saul had become king, Jonathan no doubt had witnessed that. Saul had been made king, but Saul's family and his sons were brought into that kingdom and brought into that that realm of ministry and that realm of power. And Jonathan witnessed in days gone by, in the early days of Saul being anointed and made king. He witnessed as his father ruled and governed with the touch of God upon his life. He would go out and he would win battles against the Philistines. He seemed to be conquering the land and uniting the people of God. But it would not be long until Saul would be again to be governed by that Edomic nature and began to drift away in rebellion and in pride, and began to fall away from that touch of God upon his life. And sin led him down a road that his son Jonathan was an eyewitness to. He watched the Spirit of God began to leave and to come off of his father Saul, and began to be embraced by evil spirits that plagued him and drove him crazy. He watched his father Saul be reduced to a cowardice and reduced to dealing with evil spirits. He watched his own flesh and blood father began to go down paths of sin and rebellion and reject the Word of God and to bow up against God's man. All of those things are what the flesh does tonight. The flesh is not courageous in spiritual battles. The flesh tonight is not interested in the Spirit of God, but is plagued with all sorts of evil thoughts and spirits that seem to impress themselves upon that fleshly man that lives inside of you. And if your flesh tonight were to be unleashed and to have its way in your life tonight, it would only lead you down a path of sin and rebellion and pride. It, my friend, would bring you to a life that maybe even tonight you would say, well, I'll never do this or I'll never do that. But if you walk in the power of your flesh, my friend, there is no telling how far the flesh will drag you into sin. I'm sure that Saul in those early days, he would have never said, boy, I'm looking to be a failure. I'm looking to make a mess out of my life and out of my family and out of my kingdom. He didn't set out to do that, but there came a time in his life one day and he began to be governed by that fleshly nature, and he takes on himself, my friend, the characteristic of what it is to live a life in the flesh. On the other hand, in the previous chapter from where we began to read tonight, in the Valley of Elah, one day the Israel and the Philistines are in a battle. They're in a standoff. You know the story of Goliath and how he would come out and challenge. And oh, he was a mighty champion of the enemy's army. And he defied the armies of Israel and their God. And all the men in the army of Israel, including Saul himself, they stood there in great fear and trepidation. They cowered down behind the rocks and behind the bushes, and they were afraid and fretful to stand against the enemy. And the enemy didn't mind that. They didn't mind reducing them to cowardice. Said they loved the sight of seeing such a mighty man as Saul used to be, wore out and afraid and worried about his life and his kingdom. And yet in the middle of all of that, in the will of God, showed up a young boy by the name of David. David showed up. He had had an anointing placed upon his life in chapter number 16. He had been walking with God. He was a musician and would worship God as a young man. And he had spent time with God. And that time that had been spent with God had developed a spiritual man on the inside of him. And as a result of that spiritual man, David was not a coward. He may not have been as big as others. Brother Charles Sardi, he may not have been as strong as others. He may not have been as talented as others were. But when he showed up in the Valley of Elah, Brother Tim, there was a strength about him and a valiance about him. That Jonathan was an eyewitness to. He's seen in David what he used to see in Saul. He's seen in David something that was to be admired and something that was to be embraced. The boldness and the victory that David had in the battle had gained the attention of this young man, Jonathan. And when Goliath had been brought down, his head had been severed and uplifted in victory. Jonathan witnessed that and immediately began to admire things in this spiritual man, as young as he may be. Jonathan admired those characteristics in David's life. We come to our text where we began tonight, and we find that Jonathan immediately embraced David. And when the battle was done, Goliath was killed, the Philistines were run down and stabbed and severed and slain, and blood is everywhere. When the battle is all done and David comes back, and David stands there in front of Saul, and Saul brings him into his house, and Jonathan immediately embraced him. What a wonderful picture of salvation is found in chapter number 18 in verses 1 through 4. In the life of Jonathan, he had been attached to this fleshly man through his earthly father. He had watched him fail, and he had watched him, my friend, be reduced to all these things we've already said. But now there is a new champion in Jonathan's life. There is a victor, and one that has brought him victory. There's one that has come across Jonathan's life, and Jonathan immediately embraces him. It's interesting to me that immediately upon meeting him and knowing his name and watching what he can do and watching the fact that he defeated the enemy, that Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And there are some pervertedly minded people in the realms of Bible critics that they say this relationship between Jonathan and David, that it had a homosexual tone to it. Nothing could be further from the truth. They were brought into an uncommon love one with another, but not perverted. And these two began to love one another, and David began to be to Jonathan a friend that stick get closer than any brother. Amen. We find that in that moment of their introduction, and Jonathan bows himself down to David, and he strips himself of all of his notoriety and all of his own garments. And the Bible says, we'll read it again in verse number 4, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon it and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And what Jonathan is saying by way of that display is that, David, I am taking you as my friend. He was acknowledging in a sword set that what he had seen in David, and David bore evidence that he was the rightful Lord and King over the land. And Jonathan is giving him all of his identity. My friend, the outside and the warring tools, and all the way down to the girdle, Jonathan is saying, I am willingly bowing myself down. I'm giving you everything I am outside and inside. David, I acknowledge there's something unique about you. Amen, that you have something. You are the one that is going to replace Saul in this kingdom of Israel. And I say tonight is a good day in my life. Amen. When I was living under the rule of the flesh, amen, all I knew was that Adamic nature. I'm glad the Lord Jesus came by my way and introduced himself to me and showed me he had defeated the enemy. And that, my friend, he was full of power and courage and victory. That, my friend, he could be to me everything I'd ever longed for. That I'm glad for the day I began to be the friend of God and found in Him a Savior and a King and a Lord and a friend that's sticking closer than any brother. All these 26 years and a half have been saved. Amen. My identity is lost in Him. Amen. I love Him. I love Him for coming into my life. I love Him for the fact He introduced Himself to me. I love Him that He let me bow down to Him one day. My soul is knit to my Savior and to my Lord. And I love Him. I love Him. And Jonathan displays the love the child of God ought to have toward their spiritual David. Amen. The fact that Jonathan rather loves David seems to be something that that is portrayed throughout the text that we've read. He immediately embraces him to the point he gave David his entire identity. Jonathan, again, he found in David a friend that would be to him everything that Jonathan could ever want in a friend. So they began this friendship, and I imagine them early days of this friendship, everything seemed like maybe Jonathan thinks, man, I can't believe I found a friend in David. I can't believe somebody like him would be friends with somebody like me. Maybe, my friend, there's joy and there's excitement. And maybe Jonathan said, you know what? I can't believe how good and easy life is right now. I'm glad all I've found in David has changed my life. But can I remind you, as we study the life of Jonathan, that the new relationship would quickly be strained by Saul. Saul is still in the picture. Saul is still a part of Jonathan's life. Even though he has met David and loved David and embraced David, there's still a Saul in the shadows. There is still a Saul in Jonathan's life. And what we find is, as great as their relationship is, that Saul, beginning to envy David, began to seek to destroy that relationship that Jonathan had with David. Amen. You say, well, how long did it last? I don't know how long that it lasted where they were able to be under the same roof. That, but the day came. Now, you can't miss this. The day came, and it's only a few verses in, Brother Jack, that David begins to get more attention than Saul has been getting. And when Saul recognizes that David is the one getting the attention, and David is the one being praised, and David is the one being magnified, that is when envy rises up in Saul. And Saul said, I want the attention on me. I want the praise, and I want the eyes of men to be upon me. And that is when Saul rose up to do David harm. And I remind you that the day you got saved, amen, if you're saved, listen, if you're saved tonight, it is right that the Lord ought to be getting more attention in your life than the flesh. Amen. The flesh shall leave you alone for a little while. Anybody listening? Flesh will leave you alone for a little while. You'll have the joy of that salvation in them early days. But how many know what I'm talking about tonight? When you begin to give the saved man inside of you more attention than you gave the flesh, that battle begins to stir, and Saul and David are set in array. In fact, notice in verse number 9 of 1 Samuel 18, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul said, if they think they gonna give him more attention than I get, I'm going to do all I can to take David out. Throughout the remainder of chapter number 18, You'll find that Saul began to devise plans against David. But every time, oh, I love this. Every time Saul tries to put a plan in place, there's wisdom that flows from David. And David seems to succeed the more and gain more attention and be embraced more in the kingdom. And it seems like the more Saul seeks to divide David and Jonathan, the more knit their heart is to one another. And I'm talking about in these early days in this relationship, Saul found it impossible to kill David in chapter 18. And I say, I'm glad tonight that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm glad the spirit man on the inside is greater than anything the flesh can throw at it. I'm thankful this evening I'll be able to report to you, amen, that Jesus is stronger than the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. So we're without excuse. Well, the devil made me do it. Oh, hogwash. Well, you know, we all got a sin that easily besets us. No, amen. I heard a preacher say this week, he said, and people told me, well, I slipped or fell into sin. And he made the statement, he said, sir, you didn't slip when you was planted and scheming for 6 months to sleep with that woman on your job. That ain't slipping into sin. That is being governed by the flesh. Amen. Well, I slipped up this week and I watched some things pornographic and immoral, and I just slipped up. You didn't slip. Amen. You've been being governed by the flesh, and that's where the flesh is always going to lead you. Amen. I don't know why I do the things I want to do. Everybody look here. I tell you why you do the sinful things you do. Because your flesh wants to do it. It's in a battle and a war to suffocate anything spiritual. Amen. Boy, I'm feeling some preaching coming on. I ain't going to make my 7 o'clock mark if we don't hurry. Amen. And the flesh, amen, longs to suffocate that spiritual man, that inward man, that love that we have for God. The spirit, the flesh rather, is always there. I'm trying to do away with the spirit man.
Amen.
And yet, through it all, Jonathan loved David. He loved him when he met him, and he expressed it. Through all that Saul would try to do, it is said of Jonathan about David, and he loved him as he loved his own soul. When Jonathan awakens to the fact that this new friend I have and my old father that I have, that they're not able to be together, and there's a problem, there's a battle, there's a butting of the heads, there is a clash of their personalities and their directions. It is said in chapter 19 that Jonathan delighted in David. Simply meaning that no matter what was going on in Saul and Jonathan's relationship, there was always something down inside Jonathan that he loved David. However, something that I've thought on is that Jonathan always seems to be reverting back to Saul out of loyalty. There's a battle that rages between Saul and David, and Jonathan is quick to come to David and say, David, I love you. And he'll make some covenants and some vows and some promises that no doubt Jonathan made in sincerity. I'm not questioning his sincerity. I'm not even questioning his love. He loved David. And yet after every conversation, after every covenant that is made, here is what you find Jonathan did. He says, David, I love you, turns and walks away from David to go back to be with Saul. He knew David was to rule. He said clearly in the verse we read in chapter 23 and verse 17, I know that you're going to sit on the throne. And when that happens, David, I'm going to be with you. I shall be next unto thee. And by the way, and Jonathan added, he said, Saul even understands that. Saul even knows you're the rightful king. He knows you're going to have victory. And over, he says, David, I love you. And David, I know that you're going to rule. And David, I know you're going to wear the crown. But he just doesn't seem to know how to deal with his loyalty to Saul. I'm convinced tonight there are people that are sincere when they say, I love Jesus. I love the Lord. When you say it, it's coming from a place of sincerity. But you just don't know how to deal with your loyalty to the flesh. Jonathan is always communicating. He's always expressing, David, I love you. I love you. My soul is knit to you. David, I love you. He says it in words. He even at times makes great show and produces evidence that he loves David. Everybody with me? Loyalty to Saul kept him from siding 100% with David. I love David and I want David to rule. I want David to be the king. Everybody with me? And at the end of the day, Jonathan is a type of the modern day Christian that says and professes their love for God, but is always siding with Saul. I know what you're going to say. Preacher, that's his father. That's a hard thing. And I tell you, it is a hard thing to our lives to side against the flesh that we might 100% sell out to the Lord and the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and the will of God. It's not an easy thing. In order to do that, you're going to have to side against yourself. You're going to have to go against your flesh and against your desire. You're going to have to learn to deny yourself and to put your flesh down. Hey man, that your Our spiritual David can be raised up. Oh, I hear what you say. You love the Lord. I'm not questioning you, your love for him. I'm just saying, how loyal are you to the flesh? Let me share with you some things in this story. I'll do them quickly and we'll be done. Notice with me is the strife and the battle rages in chapter number 18. Jonathan is now aware that Saul and David have issues. Saul primarily is having an issue with David. That this is not going to make it easy. He loves David and yet he wants to remain loyal to Saul. And so when we come and we study this relationship out that Jonathan has both with Saul and with David, he's in love with David, loyal to Saul. Notice with me, number one, we see this played out in the partnership Jonathan attempted. Here's what Jonathan says in chapter number 19. As Saul speaks to Jonathan and his son and all his servants that they should kill David. Now there's no doubt about it, Brother Mike. Saul wants David slain. He wants Jonathan's life rid of this friend, rid of this anointed one, rid of this one with victory. I want him dead. And so Jonathan, delighting in David, he comes to David. He said, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my father Saul is going to seek to kill you. He said, now David, here's a plan. I've been thinking about this, David. David, I've been thinking about Saul just can't get along with you. And y'all been fighting now throughout a whole chapter. He's been throwing javelins at you. He's been trying to slay you. But David, here's the plan I have.
Y'all ready for this?
But Jackie tells David, he said, let me talk to Saul. And let me tell Saul that you're not as bad as he thinks you are. I'm going to go to Saul. I'm going to go to a rebel. I'm going to go to one who is contentious. I'm going to go to one that is full of pride. I'm going to go to one that's full of sin. And I'm going to tell him how good you are. I'm going to speak good of you. David, all I need you to do, just let me handle this. And if you'll let me work this out, I'm going to get you both back under the same roof. I'm going to get y'all to cohabitate together. I'm going to try to arrange an environment where it ain't a battle anymore, where we can all just get along, and I can love you and be loyal to Saul. And we're just going to try to make this thing work one with another. And so Jonathan does that. And he convinces Saul to the point the Bible said in verse number 7, and Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And so the plan, the attempt that he makes, Brother Tim, is let's just see if we can't get y'all to get along. And it looked like for a little while that was going to work. Y'all listening? It looked like it was going to work. Brother Mark, it looked like that Jonathan was going to have the best of both worlds. But it didn't take long. It doesn't take many verses. There's wars that are breaking out and battles that are being fought. And David rises to victory, and he rises in valiancy. He rises in heroism. And David is striving, and he's gaining ground and gaining popularity and gaining being magnified. And now all of a sudden, here comes Saul again. You say, what are you saying, preacher? You better get this. If you think you're going to have the best of both worlds, you are kidding yourself. The plan that Jonathan devised, it only brought more tension into his life. It only brought more drama into his life. It only brought more inward turmoil to his life. The flesh and the spirit will never be able to live and prevail in the same roof. There are Christians, you have lied to yourself. You have gone contrary to the Word of God. You think you can live a carnal, fleshly life and embrace the elements of the world and all that is out there. And you love Jesus, you say, and you're trying to have the best of both worlds. You want this on Sunday, but on tomorrow you'll be in places you've been taught better than to be. And what you're trying to do is let the flesh and the spirit rule under the same roof. That's why you're never at peace. That's why you're always at war on the inside of your heart. Can't make it more than 4 or 5 weeks with any kind of settled state in your heart. You say, why, preacher? Because you think you can have the best of both worlds, but you can't, you can't. You can't be an immorality and love God at the same time, and you have the best of both worlds. It's impossible. Yes, sir. Amen. I may preach at 8 o'clock. I'm feeling good about it. Are you listening today? I'm heartbroken. I'm troubled at what I'm witnessing in these days, that there's a generation that thinks they can love God and be loyal to Saul and bring them under the same banner of their life and bring them in the same element of spirituality into their heart, and it only leaves them with more drama. More conflict. More, when's it ever going to end? It'll end when you sell out lock, stock, and barrel. Love your spiritual David and side with him. That's when the battle will cease. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Boy, Pastor, that's real good preaching tonight. Notice with me the promise Jonathan avowed. Notice with me in chapter number 20, you go through chapter number 19, and I mean, it's just plagued. Jonathan's doing all he can. I have the best of both David and Saul, but it just hasn't worked out. David is now finding himself in verse number 1 of chapter 20, fleeing. He has fled. He has had to run away. And now he is in this place. He came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" In other words, David is saying, I'm just trying to be your friend. I'm just trying to be on your side. I'm just trying to make your life wonderful. And all of that, that David was trying to be to that man. You listening? Watch here. It's all right. All right, y'all pray for, but listen to me. All right? You cannot lay any charge to the spiritual man that's inside of you. People blame spiritual atmospheres why they are the way they are. This whole crowd raising up in this generation mocking old time religion and Bible living and holy living. Bunch of babies. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. They had a story the other day. This is how ridiculous it's getting. Scottie Pippen's now complaining that he got to play with Michael Jordan all them years. Michael Jordan held him back. You played with the greatest of all time and you're whining and crying about how he held you back. And they're doing it in the church. Well, all them rules and all that spirituality and all that holiness, and they mock it and they run it down as if there's some sort of sin and iniquity in our spiritual David, our spiritual life. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you can't lay any charge. And so Jonathan, I got to hurry. Jonathan says, "I'm going to make a promise." They have this conversation. And Jonathan said, "Well, I don't think my father's going to kill you." And David said, "I believe he's out to take my life. He done throwed a javelin at me 2 times. David said, "He's not going to kill you." And he said, "If he were, I would tell thee." And David expresses to Jonathan, "How in the world can I trust you? There seemed to be some sort of a reservation in the heart of David. And David doesn't know exactly where Jonathan stands in the moment. Why? All he was saying, he loved David, but David's notices every time Jonathan gets a chance, he runs back to Saul. And so now Jonathan understands they can't live under the same roof. They can't dwell together in unity. And this is not going to work. And in chapter number 20, verses 1 through 29 and verse 35 through 40, I'll give it to you quickly. Here is the next plan Jonathan devises. If we can't live together, if they're not able to live together, here is my promise. Here is my promise, David. You and I will have a secret relationship that Saul don't know anything about. I'll have my life with Saul at the house, and you and I will have our relationship out here in the field. Buddy, I'm telling you, you can say you love the Lord, and maybe you're sincere in that statement. But if you think you're going to have a secret relationship with Christ and then another secret relationship with the world and the flesh, you are kidding yourself if you think that's going to work.
Amen.
You're right. Amen, Pastor. Amen, Pastor. Preach on right there. Amen. And people make all sorts of promises to the Lord. "Lord, I'll always love you. I'll always be there. I've got you. I've got you in this little realm of my life." He don't want to be in just that little realm of your life. He's the king of your life, the savior of your soul. He deserves to have 100% of your life. Not a secret part.
Amen.
Notice with me the pressure Jonathan apprehended. We come again to chapter number 20. I'm almost done now. chapter number 20, notice in this plan that Jonathan devised that he'll have a secret relationship with David. The time comes where now Jonathan is found sitting at the table with Saul. The question is going to be posed by Saul because David is not there. He says, Jonathan, where is David? Jonathan said, well, it's the time of the new moon, it's time, and David asked to be dismissed. He earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go. Verse 29, I pray thee for our family have the sacrifice in the city. And my brother, he had commanded me to be there. And so he goes through this. He said, Jonathan ended that verse, therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Notice verse number 30. So far, Saul has only been angry with David. Now something changes. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. Can I remind you tonight, your flesh not only hates the Lord and the Holy Ghost, your flesh ultimately hates you because of any love you have in your heart for the Lord.
That's right.
And we think we can show loyalty and get along with it. I'm promising you this. You can mock me. You can say that ain't true. You can say I don't believe it. If you don't believe it, that don't change the truth of what I'm about ready to give to you and try to help you with. You stay loyal to your flesh, and there'll come a time your flesh will show you that it absolutely hates you.
That's right.
Pressure. Saul begins to put pressure on Jonathan. He insults him. He begins to insult Jonathan, his own son. And Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion? The flesh begins to mock this one that has been loyal to him all along. Some of you, you don't realize what the flesh is doing to your life. It is mocking you right now. You've chosen a path of your own accord and made decisions. And all that contention you feel in your heart and all that pressure. So I ain't got no pressure. I love the Lord. Boy, it really sounds like it. You're really showing that you love the Lord. Because I know that book is right, and the flesh will insult you and shame you and put pressure on you. And all you've been trying to do is be loyal to it, but it will not even get along with you. Amen. He not only insults Jonathan, he insults Jonathan's mother. He's trying to pick a fight with his son. In those days, to insult somebody's mother, he called Jonathan's mother a rebellious woman. He talks about the shame. He said, your life is going to be a shame to your mother. I tell you what the flesh should do. It will shame you, and it will ultimately bring shame to every family relationship you have. Saul ain't interested in boosting you up. Say, but I'm loyal to my flesh. I feed my flesh. I live in my flesh. I walk with my flesh. I'm going to give my flesh everything it wants. And when it's over, it is going to bring shame to your life and shame to your family.
Amen.
I've been preaching like this since God called me to preach. I ain't changing now. Are you listening? The flesh is not going to boost you. It ain't interested in helping you. Amen. You begin to express any kind of life with the Lord Jesus and love for the Spirit. It won't be long and it's going to begin to put the pressure on you because of that.
All right. Amen.
put pressure on his relationship with David. Here's what Saul said, and I'll paraphrase. Jonathan, you're so stupid. Do you not realize that if you go after David the way you are, you ain't going to be able to be what you could be? Don't you want to be the king of your own life? Don't you want to wear the crown? Don't you want to be in control? Don't you want to be in charge? Are y'all listening? And Saul is telling Jonathan, you have so much potential to be the big shot. But you can't be any of that. You better listen now. You can't be any of that if you choose the son of Jesse. Because then he gets to be in charge. He gets to wear the crown. And he gets to call the shots. And he gets to lay out the law. Are y'all in the building? See, the flesh knows what some of you have deceived yourself about. The flesh knows if you're going to embrace Jesus, if you're going to embrace the spiritual man, that means you don't get to call the shots anymore. Some of y'all, you're so blinded, you are self-deceived tonight because you think you can love David, be loyal to Saul, and that in the end, you get to be the one that's still going to call the shots of your life. Go ahead, do what you want to do. In the end, the flesh is going to put so much pressure on you, and you study where Jonathan got after this encounter. He got depressed. He got discouraged. He got full of angst and anxiety, and the flesh put so much pressure on him that now there's getting ready to be a change in his relationship with David. Amen. Amen. See, the flesh is always pressuring and never be satisfied till it can, in our life, cut ties that we have with our spiritual David. Notice with me, last of all, the parting Jonathan allowed. When Saul put the pressure on, now Jonathan has to come to David in verse number 41 of chapter 20. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. David, the implication, best I can tell studying that verse, David was begging Jonathan, I love you. I love you. Jonathan would say, I love you too. There they are, not in a perverted way, but in a relationship, an uncommon relationship, expressing their love one for another. And it's as though David is saying, if you love me like you say you love me, join my side. If I've got to leave, if Saul's going to run me out of the country, then you come with me. Jonathan said to David, go in peace. That is an amazing statement. Go in peace. What do you mean go in peace? I've got javelins every time I turn around. Your daddy's trying to pin me to the wall. What do you mean go in peace? There's never going to be any peace. He's going to do all he can to hunt me down. David knew. And Saul was ruthless and relentless. And then he would always seek after David's life. Jonathan, what do you mean go in peace? Ain't going to be no peace. Jonathan is deceived about it. Amen. The time comes here, Jonathan will be separated from David. Notice what the Bible said, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose, departed. David, that is. David departed. David went one way. Notice what the Bible said, and Jonathan went into the city. Jonathan went the other way. in love with David, but loyal to Saul. Eventually, the loyalty to Saul, the fleshly man, created separation between David and Jonathan. In that separation, there's three things you'll see. Number one, the distance. David departed. Jonathan went the other way, back to the city, back to where Saul was, back to where Saul ruled and Saul reigned and Saul called the shots and Saul commanded every waking moment and hour of Jonathan's life. He let David go one way. Jonathan went back to Saul, and now there is a distance that is created between them. I wonder tonight if I could ask the question. I'm almost done. How far are you from God tonight? What distance is there between you and your Savior? What distance has the flesh set between you and the one you love? The distance. Notice with me in chapter 23. You can't miss this. Notice the flesh departing. Jonathan allowed, he allowed Saul to divide them. And so there's a distance in the division, but notice there's a delay in the division. There'll be one more time. I don't know how much time has elapsed and transpired. Some time has gone by. Chapter 23, verse 16, Jonathan, Saul's son, arose, went to David into the wood. And interestingly, strengthened his hand in God. David, I know you're still on the run. And David, I just want you to know I still love you. I'm still for you. He said unto him, listen to what Jonathan said, fear not. For the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be in days to come. I know you're going to be king over Israel. Notice this next phrase, and I shall be next unto thee. Did y'all catch that? David, I intend, or listen, don't miss it now. Here's what Jonathan just said. David, I intend on one day not just loving you, but being loyal to you. David, the day's coming. I'm going to get this thing right. And I'm going to be next unto you. I'm going to stand right by your side, but not today. You know what the flesh does when you get loyal to the flesh? It makes you delay what you know is right and true and what you ought to do today and put it off to tomorrow. This room tonight has got young people in it. You know how you're supposed to live. You keep thinking, boy, I'm going to do that one of these days. Let me ask you, when you going to do it? You know He's Lord. You know He's Savior. You know that book's right. When you going to fall in line with what is right? See, the flesh should get you to keep putting it off. It'll put so much division in your heart toward the things of God. And you'll know what you ought to do, and you'll keep saying, one of these days, David, I promise, Jesus, I promise you, one of these days, I'm going to get it right. Sad for Jonathan and sad for so many others, that day never came. I see the death in their division. Jonathan leaves, no doubt, loving on David and sincere in his heart. One of these days, David, one of these days. One of these days. I promise, David, one of these days. But that day never came. This particular passage ends in verse number 18, and David abode in the wood. Jonathan went to his house. The remainder of Jonathan's days will be filled following after Saul in every crazy, just wild limb Saul wants to go out on and battles he wants to pick and fight. Jonathan will show his loyalty to Saul until one day they come to Mount Gilboa, the place of the heap of ruins. Now there's a battle that Jonathan has followed Saul in that will be the demise and the downfall and the death of this man, Jonathan. Y'all listening? Can I say this tonight? We may get by with loyalty to the flesh for a while. For a while. For a while, it'll look like, boy, you have found your own wings and you're doing so great. Don't you ever forget, what are we, June the 9th? Is this June the 9th? June the 10th, 11th? Don't you ever forget on June the 11th, this preacher warned you and told you, the day's coming. Your flesh is going to lead you into a battle. It's going to destroy your life.
Amen.
You keep following Saul. You keep chasing after Saul, fighting battles you was never intended to fight outside of being with David. The flesh will lead you into a battle you will not survive. Amen. In love with David, loyal to Saul. Where you at? Where you at? Oh, I tell you right now, preacher, I'm having the time of my life. I'm just living it up in the flesh. You're deceived or you're lying. If there is any truth in that, the final chapter ain't being written in your life. Candy's coming to piano. Maybe you need to do business with the Lord. I know all of us. I don't care where you are. Y'all know me. I'm for trying to preach to people and help them where they are to get to where they ought to be. You can look the most spiritual part tonight and still be eat up with the flesh. So who's this message for tonight? It's for you. And it's for me. Amen. Don't you shovel this to nobody else tonight. I'm going to tell you, Mr. Ronnie, it's for all of us. We better make sure, though we love Jesus, we're not loyal to the flesh in our life. Amen. Let's stand together.